Rabbi. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. And Chag Sameach. Chag Sameach to the brethren who are watching this with us today. It is Shabbat 212, Shavuot weekend. And we will be here today with you, and also tomorrow we will have a almost live service with you and be putting it online. So welcome to the brethren locally and also those that will watch this with us. Shavuot is a really, really neat time of the year. It's a fun time, it's harvest time, it's about first fruits. And I think we'll talk a little bit after we eat. We'll do our Torah reading a little later. You know, maybe we'll together read the book of Ruth and discuss it and go over some things. But I have a message today I want to go into because it's very interesting how Yahweh works in the circular. We know that. And all the holy days have double meaning to them. And when you're looking at Shavuot, you know, the giving of the Torah in the first covenant and the giving of the Holy Spirit in the second covenant. Today I'd like to talk primarily about the purpose of the Torah, and tomorrow I'll talk more about the purpose of the Spirit with the Torah. But the message I'm giving today is called, Thy Word is a Lamp Unto My Feet. Thy Word is a Lamp Unto My Feet. And Psalm 119:105 says, Your Word, the Torah, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Keep having that song floating around in my head. Maybe we'll sing it later. Verse 130 of the same psalm says, The entering of your word gives light, giving instruction to the simple. And I would really like to talk today about that. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. And talk about light concerned to darkness, about the light of the Torah, and how the Torah literally lights our feet and makes a way for our path through light. You know, in the world today, in the Laodicean times we're living in a time that the Bible says is the most wicked time man has ever known. And they don't have to tell us, we're living in it, we see it. We see that the world is filled with rebellion. We see they're rejecting the word of Yahweh. I've noticed recently in the last year where if anybody comes up, no matter what the situation is, because anything that happens in the world today, there's a camera somewhere or someone with their phone taking a picture and then you're seeing it all over the world, it doesn't matter what it is, that if Yahweh or Yahweh's word comes into it some way, then, I mean, you're just seeing people in this socialistic, communistic, rebellious movement with hate like I've never seen in my life toward Yahweh and Yahweh's word. You know, and again, on the other end, if it comes to anything else, whether it's Islam, whether it's homosexuality, no matter what it is, abortion, then it's the opposite. It's we need patience, you know, we have to have acceptance and all this stuff. But when it comes to Yahweh or anything dealing with His word, then forget about it. There's no tolerance, there's no acceptance. It's a total difference. And that's why I want to show why the world today is ending up the way they are. Interesting enough, the root of the word Torah is Yara. Yara is the root of the word Torah. And it comes from Or, the word light. So when you say the Torah is a light to my feet, literally that's exactly what it means. Light causes to, or to cause to see the light. You know, it's either light or cause to see the light. So the Torah causes you to see the light. Also, the Hebrew word for teach, more, comes from the same root word. The same root word of yara. Tor, in Hebrew, means specific course or order. Tor means specific course or order. So the full meaning of the Torah is to see the light by the proper order of teaching or instructing. That's literally the exact meaning of Torah, is to see the light by the proper order of teaching or instructing. So if we go to Deuteronomy 4 in verse 8, Deuteronomy 4 in verse 8, it says, And who is a great nation whose statutes and judgments are as righteous as all the Torah which I set before you today? So again, he's saying all the nations of the world, when you look, how they have everything from ancient Babylon, right? In the law of Hammurabi to the statutes of Egypt. What nation is righteous and just to have the laws and the statutes and the judgments of the Torah? Only, verse 9, be on guard for yourself and keep your soul carefully, that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and that you not depart from your heart all the days of your life. And you shall make them known to your sons and to your sons' sons. Talking about the laws of the Torah. The day that you stood before Yahweh your Elohim in Horeb, when Yahweh said to me, gather the people to me, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and they may teach their sons. So again, the point of the covenant was to teach your children. You know, Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the opening of the way, as soon as they're coming out of the birth canal, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. It's something, there was a training in this way, because it wasn't just something that came, it was something that had to be taught. You know, the whole Tanakh, it's a code of law. When we look at the Torah, the first five books are all a code of law, a code of conduct. How we have a relationship to the Creator Yahweh, and how we have a relationship to each other. So basically the Torah is our instruction for life. It's our instruction for life, how to live. When you buy an electronic device, some of you are, or probably 99% of you are more electronic illiterate than I am. Literate than I am. But most people, if you have something that's electronic or something, you need instructions how to put it together. So really, that's what the Torah is. It's our instruction for life. And if you assemble it incorrectly, it's not going to work. It's that simple. You can't take a whole bunch of electronic things that have little connecting points and knobs and just throw it all in together and think it's going to work. You know what that's called? Evolution. That's what they call evolution, you know? They took everything, threw it in a pot, it blew up, and everything came out right. Well, now we're in the real world. You know, it doesn't work that way. You have a computer, or you have a VCR, and you don't know how many hours I've spent putting it in every plug, and it still doesn't work. And then we call Andy, and he puts in the right plug, and it works. But all of us don't have an Andy, unfortunately. But we do have the Torah. And that's what the Torah is. The Torah is instruction for life. If you don't follow the instruction from the Garden of Eden, life will not work. You can't just throw it in a pot and think that it's going to come out all right. Why is the world so bad? Why are there so many wars and sicknesses, disease? Why is there 30 million abortions every year? Why is the divorce rate in the United States almost 60%? Because the world is not following the instruction. I heard a statistic just about a month ago. First time ever in the United States, 54% of people now are cohabitating, not even marrying anymore. So the divorce rate is still 56-58%, but that means more than half the people are not even bothering to marry. So we're seeing a major shift in morality. You know, we know President Obama came out recently promoting gay marriage. And they said in 2006, 64% of the people were against gay marriage. Now it's almost the opposite. 58% of people support it in the new poll. So morality is changing very, very quickly. Why? Because they're not following the instruction. And if you don't follow the instruction, what's the alternative? You're going to follow your own heart, as we're going to see here. And the heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. And the heart will change. It will change according to your circumstances, where the word of Yahweh, the Torah, is forever. It's a standard of living that doesn't change, no matter what the circumstances are. So if the Torah says, thou shalt not lie, it doesn't say, unless you're in court. Unless you're being accused of something serious, you shall not lie. It's that simple. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, under any circumstances. You know. So the Torah is an eternal code of conduct and the very character of our Creator. John 1 and verse 17. John 1 and verse 17. Says, for the Torah was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua Messiah. And the problem with Christianity is they keep equating that you either have to accept the Torah or grace. And they don't contradict each other. They don't contradict each other. Because grace is Yahweh's unmerited pardon. Grace is something we can't earn. It's justifying us before the throne of Yahweh. And that was never the intention of the Torah. The Torah doesn't say anywhere in there that it's there to justify you before Yahweh. The Torah is there to teach you how to live. The Torah is there to give you instruction for life. But what's going to happen? The same with bowling. You know, none of us are going to bowl 300 every time we go. We're not going to be perfect. Some mistakes are going to happen, and that's where grace comes from. Grace comes from Yahweh's alternative way, when we falter, to be able to reconcile ourselves back to Him. So the Torah was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua Messiah. Two totally separate functions that they have there. The Torah is a lamp to my feet. It lights the path to walk on. It guides my steps. And as we're going to see, the word of Yahweh, which is the Torah, and the word of Yahweh, which is Yeshua His Son, work hand in hand. There's no contradiction. The same way as there's no contradiction between the Father and the Son. They're in Echad. They're in total unity. There's no contradiction between Yahweh's grace and Yahweh's Torah. The Torah is a lamp to your feet. It lights the path to walk on. It guides your steps. Let's go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1. The very beginning. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And the earth being without form and empty, and darkness on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Elohim moving gently on the face of the waters. And Elohim said, "Let there be light." And there was light. What did we just read? Light is. Light is Torah. Was the Torah there from the beginning? Of course it was. Of course it was. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Because the Torah, like I said, it's Yahweh's eternal character. It's how Yahweh does things. It's His judicial order. It's that simple. Of course it was there from the beginning. The Torah is light, and He said, "Let there be light." And Elohim saw the light that it was good. And Elohim separated between the light and the darkness. So again, if the Torah is the light to your path to keep you on the light, and darkness is the total opposite, why would we reject the Torah? Why would we be giving anything but the Torah? Now, interesting enough, let's go to the book of John. John 1:1. John 1:1. Which is a parallel to this. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. Everything existed through His hands, and without Him, not even one thing existed of the things which have existed. In Him, talking about Yeshua, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake them. The Torah is a lamp to my feet. Yeshua is the light of men. The Torah lights the path. Is there a contradiction between grace and Torah? Absolutely not. Not only is there a contradiction, when you really meditate on these scriptures, they're powerful. They're really, really powerful. Because once you come to the conclusion that Yeshua is the living Torah, the Torah is not just words in a book. The Torah is life. And this being of Yahweh, you know, this eternal creation of Yahweh, this eternal being, I should say, not creation. Well, creation was made for Him and by Him. He wasn't created Himself. But Yeshua being the eternal being of Yahweh, and literally, you know, being the light, and what did He do? He manifested Himself, look at verse 14, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as an only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Torah is not just words. It's life. It's living. It's a lamp to your feet. Meaningly, you know, every day of our life, everything we do, we're moving in a direction. And the Torah lights that path. And the Word of Yahweh, Yeshua HaMashiach, became the living Torah. Where's the contradiction? I don't see it. I don't see the contradiction whatsoever. John 12. In verse 46, John 12 and verse 46, I have come as a light to the world, that everyone who believes into me may not remain in the darkness. You know, there's 300 messianic scriptures in the Tanakh. 300 messianic scriptures. The Torah is a light to my feet. It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Where does that path lead you? There's only one road. One road. The end of the road. Here is Yeshua HaMashiach. That's what it leads you there. So it's there to teach you right from wrong, light from darkness. And Yeshua is the light. Anyone that's of the light, they come to Him. Anyone not of the light, they withdraw. And what happens when you withdraw? We're going to read it. You know, the eye is the light of the body. Whoa, if there's darkness in that eye. And we're seeing it. We're seeing a world now where there's no middle ground. I've talked about this many times. There's no color gray in Hebrew, at least in ancient Hebrew. Modern Hebrew, they have a term for gray. There's black and white. You know, it used to be 1% rich, 1% poor, 98% in the middle. The middle ground is separating. And what we're seeing when Yeshua returns, there'll be light or darkness. The people of the darkness will be the people who take the mark of the beast, or part of this end time system of world democracy. And the people of the light will be the first fruits of Yahweh who serve with Yeshua through the millennium. Yahweh's way is light or darkness. All those of the light come to Him. I have come as a light to the world that everyone who believes into Me may not remain in the darkness. And all of us have seen this. That's the reason why we're trying to bring this great message to the world. Because we're saddened when we see the world in darkness. They may have a lot of questions. They may have a lot of doubt. But they don't have any answers. They don't have any answers. And when we see what's happening, as more technology is coming, you know, as we're sending men not to the moon anymore, but to Mars and Jupiter, and we're finding new planets, you know, and we're finding ways to have people live for hundreds of years and even building a space station. We're also finding the evils of the world are getting worse and worse. And people are not getting happier, they're getting more unhappier. And people are not getting more appeased and at ease, they're getting more confrontational and frustrated. And that's why you're seeing in the world, you're seeing more riots, you're seeing people having not more discipline and self-control. You're seeing people the minute they don't get something, breaking, even killing. Happened right here in Israel, just a week or two ago. You know, man in the night is trying to sleep. Youths are out there screaming. He comes out, they ask him, can you please stop being quiet? They kill him. They're killing him. This is what happens. Because without the Torah there leading you to Yeshua, you'll be in darkness. And woe, how great that darkness is at the end of the day. 1 John 2. Or first, let's go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5:17. Because I want to prove to you there is no contradiction with belief in Yeshua and belief in the Torah. That is something that wicked, evil, despicable men claiming to be pastors of Yahweh have brought in these last days. But you will not find it in the words of the Torah. Matthew 5. In verse 17, do not think, this is Yeshua speaking, do not think that I have come to annul the Torah of the prophets. I did not come to annul, but to fulfill. Torah is a light to my feet, you know, lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And like I say, that there's only one road that path leads you to. So He didn't come to annul it because He'd be annulling Himself. All the scriptures point to Him. That's what He said in the book of John. Trace the scriptures. You say in them you have eternal life, and they speak of Me. Truly I say to you, until the heaven and the earth pass away, in no way shall one yod or one stroke pass away from the Torah till all comes to pass. Therefore, whoever loosens one of these commandments, the least, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the worst in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever teaches and does and teaches them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. See, it doesn't sound to me like Yeshua is doing away with the Torah. Like I said, the Torah is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let's go now to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. Starting in verse 3. So many people say they know Yeshua. So many people say they love Yeshua, right? And yet, they don't want to keep his commandments. He says, why do you call me Master, Master, and not do the things I tell you to do? And like I say, you know, people say, are you judging me, God? No. The words of this book will judge you in the last day. That's what Yeshua said. And what do the words of the book say? 1 John 2, very simple, verse 3. And by this we know that we have known him, Yeshua, if we keep his commandments. That's how we know we've known him. You know, the disciples of Yeshua do what Yeshua did. And Yeshua kept the commandments. The one saying, I have known him, Yeshua, and not keeping his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in that one. But whoever keeps his word, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Truly, in this one, the love of Yahweh has been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. You know, is the Torah a rigid book of rules that are against us? No. Deuteronomy 11, I give you this Torah today for your good. The Torah teaches us in Leviticus 19, love your neighbor as yourself. I give you today for your good. But whoever keeps his word, truly in this one, the love of Yahweh has been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one claiming to rest in him, Yeshua, ought to walk even as he walked. How did Yeshua walk? He kept the Torah. That word in the Aramaic, it's the word for halakha. You ever hear halakha? Is our custom, how we do something? And that's literally what it is. That if somebody is saying they're in Yeshua, then they should have the same halakha that Yeshua had. They should be keeping the same customs. They should be doing the same thing. What did Yeshua do? Not only did he keep the Torah perfectly, he kept the Shabbat every week. He kept the Moedim that we're keeping. You know? He was a nice Jewish boy. Probably even ate matzo ball soup. But that's what he was. He was Jewish. His culture was Jewish. You know? And the Gentiles stole him and made him into a Greek god. That's what they did. But that's not the Savior. That's not Yeshua HaMashiach. That's the Constantine, you know, new version of the New Testament that came from the 4th century on. So again, it's very simple. The Torah is a lamp to my feet that leads me to Yeshua. And anybody who's claiming to be a believer in him should be walking just as he walked. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 2. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 13. Then I saw that there is advantage to wisdom above folly, even as light has advantage over darkness. Light has advantage over darkness. You know, like I said, you know, call me a nerd, call me whatever you want to call me. I'm in bed at 8:30 every night, you know. I'm not out there partying and discoing and all the other stuff that people are doing. But you want to know something? You know, I'm also not reaping the unfortunate things that these people in the world are reaping. You know, the ones that are out there doing drugs, the ones that are out there in the divorce rate, the ones that are out there with all the sexual transmissible diseases and all the other things. Let me read it again. Then I saw that there is advantage to wisdom above folly, even as light has advantage over darkness. I give you today this Torah for your good. By being obedient to Torah, Psalm 19, there is great advantage in keeping them. And that's why I say to the person who comes up to me who's against the Torah, the first thing I say is, show me one law in the Torah that's against me. Show me one law in the Torah that's going to hurt me. It's teaching you the perfect character of the perfect Creator on how to worship Him and how to love your neighbor as yourself. Very, very simple. I give you today the Torah for your good. If we go to Proverbs 3, Proverbs the third chapter, there is advantage in light over darkness. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my Torah, but let my heart guard and keep my commandments. Let your heart guard and keep my commandments. For they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. It's a promise. Promise comes from Yahweh. Mercy and truth will not forsake you. Try them, tie them on your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of Elohim and man. Wow. Anybody ever have a problem with Elohim. Anybody ever have a problem with man? Ever been misunderstood? You know, the Torah says that when you're being obedient to Yahweh, even your enemies will be made at peace with you. And we all know it. We all know there's times that even people that are our enemies have shown us mercy and favor. Why? Because we're being obedient to the Torah. That's what the Torah says. Trusting Yahweh with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your path will be directed not by your own heart, but by the Torah, which is Yahweh's eternal character. Proverbs 4, verse 1. My sons, hear the instruction of a father. This is Yahweh talking to us directly. Pay attention to no understanding, for I give you good teaching. All right, yeah, yeah. What is it? What is it? What's the good teaching? Do not forsake my Torah. Do not forsake my Torah. That's what I say. I always, when I was younger and I didn't know the Bible, I'd scratch my head because I read scriptures like this, and then I'm hearing these wicked, defiled pastors coming and saying, the law is nailed to a cross. That law. I think, wow, something doesn't add up. And what doesn't add up is these are not men of Yahweh. They're not men of Yahweh, and I'll read you the scripture to prove it in a minute. For I give you good teaching, do not forsake my Torah. For I was my father's son, tender and an only one in the sight of my mother. And he taught me and said to me, let your heart cling to my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forsake and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will guard you. And that's what I say. The Torah will keep you out of trouble. It will keep you out of improper judgment. It will keep you out of making mistakes against yourself and other people. The Torah is a protective hedge around covenant believers to protect us, not to harm us. And that's why Satan wants to do away with it. He wants to take that hedge away from us so he can attack us. Submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you've got to submit to Yahweh first. And if you're not submitting to Yahweh, the devil will keep attacking you and you'll keep wondering why. Why? Why is it happening again? Because you're not submitting to Yahweh. Submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Very, very simple. The Torah is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. Many times people will come and say, but this person said this, but this person said that, but this pastor said this, but this book said this. And I'll ask them, is the person a Shabbat keeper? No. Is he keeping the commandments, including the third commandment, honoring the Father's name? No. Okay, well, let's look at what Yahweh's word says, Isaiah 8:20. To the Torah and the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. And I saw light had advantage over darkness. Do you want to walk in darkness or you want to walk in light? You got to make a choice. You can't say you want to walk in the light and everything you're doing in your light is in darkness. He goes, woe is you if you are. You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. And you will never get the benefits that Yahweh wants to give you if you're doing that. The Torah is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Right here. To the Torah and the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. There's no light in them. You want a lighted path or you want to walk on a dark road? We've all been on both sides of it and we know the results of both of it. Very, very simple. Submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Jeremiah 17. Because let's turn it around now. If you take the Torah out of the picture, these people who are Torahless, these people who are against the Torah, violating it, what's the alternative? What is the alternative for people who are Torahless? Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. So says Yahweh, cursed is the man who trusts in man and who makes flesh his arm and who turns aside his heart from Yahweh. Cursed is that man. You turn aside from the Torah, you're turning aside from Yahweh, because we just read in Proverbs that Yahweh the Father is saying, as a good father, I'm giving this to you for your good. And Yahweh says, cursed is that man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm and turns aside his heart from Yahweh. Verse 7. Blessed, though, is the man who trusts in Yahweh, and Yahweh is his refuge. Verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is incurable. Who can know it? I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to his fruit and his doing. Without a lamp on your path, you will make decisions out of your own evil heart. And let's look in the year 212. What are those decisions? Those decisions from an educated world, right? Who can now send men up to Jupiter and everywhere else. What is the decision from their heart? That infanticide, that murdering, mass murdering worldwide. You think this Holocaust was bad? Yeah, it was. 6 million Jews died. But you're talking about a Holocaust every year, 30 million infants being killed around the world. And they say it's a woman's right to choose. You evil person, that you want to take away that woman's right to choose? We're the evil ones. Because we don't support infanticide. We don't support the killing of unborn children that Satan loves to kill because they have innocent blood. They haven't sinned yet. It also comes up. President of the United States sat around his table with his 9-year-old daughter and decided with her that homosexuality is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a choice. See, this is when you put the Torah aside, this is the end result. That all of this humanism that's going to come out that makes it look like how wonderful they are. And they're looking for human rights, right? And they're looking for tolerance. And everything is 100% violating everything that our Father is about. And in the end, we're the only enemies. We're the enemy. Because you know what? What I just said is, it's against world law. I'm violating somebody's human right as a human being. But the right of 30 million infants every year, they don't care about. They say it's not a life. And yet there's been 70 billion people that have been born since Adam. Everyone started as a sperm and an egg. Every single one without fail, 9 months later, a baby came out. So why isn't it a life? What is it? Has it ever turned into a frog? Has it ever turned into an alligator? No. Every single one that's come to fruition was a life, a baby, a child, a beautiful little baby. And because they're wicked and they're evil and they're Torahless, they say, hey, it's her right. It's her right. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Do you want to stay in the light or do you want to be in darkness? Ecclesiastes 2:13, there is advantage of light over darkness. See, because we could sit here in a room and we could talk about this till the cows come home. But the bottom line is, when everybody leaves the room and they go back to their life, you're going to make decisions. And unfortunately, people that are walking in darkness, their lives are going to follow. You reap what you sow. And there's a reason, like I said, why people's lives are so miserable in the world. Because they're following a world and a road of darkness. Because they refuse to follow Yahweh's Torah. They absolutely refuse it. Romans 7, staying on the same subject here, about the heart being deceitful. He says, Romans 7:12, for indeed the Torah is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. For indeed the Torah is holy and the commandment holy, just and good. But verse 14, but we know that the Torah is spiritual, but I am fleshly, having been sold under sin. So again, this is the weakness in the Torah. The weakness in the Torah is the Torah is spiritual, and we're not. We're not. And that's why we'll talk about it tomorrow. How wonderful Shavuot is a day of freedom for us. The same way as the Jubilee year is a year of freedom. It's the same pattern. You're going to like it, I think, tomorrow. Got a real neat message. But it's freedom because we're freed from the bondage of sin, not the bondage of Torah. The bondage of being carnally minded and not being able to keep it. That's what we're being freed from. Praise Yahweh for that. Galatians 3:21. It says, then is the law against the promises of Yahweh? Elohim forbid. For if a law had been given, which had been able to make alive, indeed righteousness would have been out of law. But the scripture locked up all under sin, that the promise by faith of Yeshua Messiah might be given to the ones believing. The weakness of the Torah is not the Torah itself, but it's in the inability of the Torah to change the heart. The Torah is 100% righteous and right, and it can tell you right from wrong, but it can't convict you to do the right thing. That's the only weakness. And like I said, that's why, praise Yahweh for the New Testament Shavuot that puts a new spirit in us that does want to follow. The Spirit teaches you to apply it. Romans 8, and then once you have the Spirit of Yahweh, now, are we to reject the Torah? Like Paul said in Romans 3:31, you know, now that you're under grace, do you reject the Torah? Yahweh forbid, we establish it. We establish it. Because to the people out there without the Spirit of Yahweh, they can't understand the righteous demands of the Torah. And that's why you have thousands of yeshiva schools all over the world, and you have thousands of rabbis, but they're all teaching something different. Because without the Spirit of Yahweh, they can't get to the intent of what Yahweh meant by it. But with His Spirit, far from rejecting His eternal light and lamp to our feet that teach us how to go, we are supposed to be living examples the way the Word, the Torah, became flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Yeshua HaMashiach. That's what we're supposed to be doing now. We are supposed to be living it in the Spirit the way He wants us to. So let's read it. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Yeshua Messiah who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Yeshua Messiah, sets me free from the law of sin and death. See, by the Spirit living in us, it's freeing us from the bondage of sin. Not the bondage of Torah. There is no bondage in Torah. Like I say, there's only blessings of obedience. There's only cursing for disobedience. For the Torah being powerless, we just talked about it. The only powerless thing it can do is it can teach you right from wrong, but it can't convict you to do the right thing. For the Torah being powerless in that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Yeshua lived a righteous life for 33 years. He never sinned. And He showed us the righteous demand of the Torah. The Torah says you shall not commit adultery. I say if you think in your mind, you already done it. He showed us that. He showed us that our minds need to be pure and holy and just. Not just our actions. Thought goes to action. Action goes to sin. Sin goes to death. So that the Verse 4, so that the righteous demand of the Torah might be fulfilled in us, those not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That people that have read the Torah for the last 2,000 years and didn't understand it will say, ah, now I understand it. I understand it by your example. I understand it by your example. Now it's making sense to me. So that the righteous demand of the Torah might be fulfilled in us. How can you fulfill the righteous demand if you're doing away with it? Those not walking according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the ones that are according to the flesh mind the things of the flesh, and the ones according to the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. So the Torahless, nailed to the cross law, all these people, they are minding the things of the flesh and not the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know why? Because the wages of sin is still death in the new covenant. And what is sin? Sin is the transgression of the Torah. 1 John 3:4. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity, hatred toward Yahweh. For it is not subject to the Torah of Yahweh, nor is it indeed possible to be. Without the Spirit of Yahweh, we cannot keep the righteous demand of the Torah. Praise Him for Shavuot. Praise Him for Shavuot. And those being in the flesh are not able to please Yahweh. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you. Praise Him for Shavuot again. But if anyone is not the Spirit of Messiah, this one does not belong to Him. So what makes you a first fruit? What makes you a child of Yahweh? His Spirit dwelling in you. But if the Messiah is in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of the one having raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, the one having raised the Messiah from the dead, Psalm 16, I will not leave my Holy One in the grave to see corruption. The one, having raised the Messiah from the dead, will also make your mortal bodies live through the indwelling of his Spirit in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live according to flesh, Jeremiah 17:9, going by your own heart, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. Very, very simple. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Very, very simple. Torah was given by Moses, grace and truth by Yeshua Messiah. We need that grace first to give us the justification to come back into covenant relationship with Yahweh, and then we need to follow His word every day of our life. And we're either going to walk in the light and draw closer to Yeshua, or we're going to walk in darkness and we're going to go away from Him. It's one or the other. They say that every time you say something that's true, the cherubs in heaven are ringing bells. I can almost hear them in the background. Maybe it was the knock I took at breakfast. I don't know. Matthew 5 and verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How could you be a light to the world without keeping the Torah? I mean, all of us have been through it. We meet the people. The Lord said this, the Lord said that. And they're all saying something different. They're all contradicting each other. They don't know what they're talking about. Because they're not following thy word, which is the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. Right here. You are the light of the world. It is not possible to hide a city that is built on a mountain. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on the lampstand, and it shines for all those in the house. So let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and may glorify your Father in heaven. So let your light shine before men. Thy word is a light, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, now, we just read in Romans 8, through the Holy Spirit, we should be keeping the righteous demand of the Torah, and it should be such a light that they should all be following behind us. We are lighting the path of salvation for these people to follow. We're lighting the path of salvation. That's what a first fruit does. That's what the believers of Yeshua do. How can you do it without the Torah? Without the Torah, you're doing it on a road to darkness. The blind leading the blind. And what did Yeshua say? They will both fall into the pit. Acts 26 and verse 15. And I said, who are you, sir? And he said, I am Yeshua, whom you persecute. But rise up and stand on your feet. This is when Paul met Yeshua on the road to Damascus. Rise up and stand on your feet, for it is the reason I appear to you, to appoint you as a servant and a witness, both of what you saw and of what I shall appear to you. Having delivered you from the people and the nations to whom I now send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. From darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to Yahweh, in order that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among those being sanctified by faith in me. And I tell you with 100% assurity, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Without the Torah, these people are leading them. They are leading them into the darkest road of Satan the devil, unbeknownst to them. Right here it's very clearly that Yahweh gave us this authority to lead the people from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan to Yahweh. We see it in the world today. We see it by these communistic, progressive people that hate the word of Yahweh. They hate the word of Yahweh. They don't want it in the schools. They don't want it in the courts. They don't want nothing to do with Yahweh because they're under the authority of Satan. And in Satan's authority, yes, homosexuality is legal. Whatever you want to do, as long as you're not following Yahweh, He really doesn't care. but it's a road of darkness and a road of death. John 11 and verse 9. And Yeshua answered, and he said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man should walk in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles, because there is no flame or no light in him. We don't want to walk in the night. We don't want to walk in the darkness. We want to walk in the day, and we want to walk in the likeness of Messiah, who set us the example they went before us, not just physically keeping every law of the Torah, but spiritually showing us the meaning behind it of loving Yahweh with all our heart, mind, and soul, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Luke 11, verse 33. Luke 11 and verse 33. No man lights a lamp and sets it in a hidden place or under a basket, rather upon a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. You know, do we hide our light? Or are we openly proclaiming to others? Are we openly showing by our actions? Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, if your boss at work asks you to lie or asks you to do something against the commandment, are you going to sit back and say, oh, I don't want to offend him? Or you're going to say, no way, I won't do that. I won't lie. I'm not going to lie for you. I'm not going to make this up. I'm not going to do that. Your eye is the lamp of your body. Therefore, when your eye is true, all your body will be bright. But if it should be evil, your body will be dark. Watch then that the light in you is not darkness. If all the body is light and does not have any dark portion, it will be enlightened. All of it is a lamp, by its flames enlightens you. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Without the Torah, you can't make this light on your own. You can't. Revelation 21 and verse 23. And the city, this is talking about the New Jerusalem. And the city had no need of sun nor of the moon that they might shine in it. For the glory of Yahweh illuminates it. The glory of Yahweh illuminates it. And its lamp is the Lamb, Yeshua himself. And the nations of the ones saved will walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor to it. Wow. In this day, all people will be walking in the light, meaningly all people will be Torah observant and honoring and worshiping the King of Kings, the Master of Masters, Yeshua HaMashiach. If we go to Isaiah 2, it tells us the same thing. Isaiah 2 and verse 3. And many people will come and say, come and let us go to the Mount of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach from his ways and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion the Torah will go forth, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with Yahweh, and the word was Yahweh. And the word of Yahweh became flesh and dwelt among us. Like I said, Yeshua is an eternal spirit being. But for 33 years he became flesh and dwelt in a human body to show us exactly the intent of the Torah and for us to follow in it. Verse 5 of Isaiah 2. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Come and let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Like I say, grace and Torah, they don't contradict each other. You need the grace to get yourself justified before Yahweh. Only the blood of Yeshua can do that, because all of us have a penalty of death. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. But then once you're justified before Yahweh, once you're brought back into covenant relationship, then you have to follow the word of Yahweh. Yeshua, the word of Yahweh, and the Torah being his eternal word that he wrote, he lived, and is his character that he does. Proverbs 6 and verse 20. Proverbs 6 and verse 20. It says, my son, keep your father's commandments and do not forsake the Torah of your mother. Bind them on your heart forever. Tie them around your neck. When you go, it shall lead you. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When you go, it shall lead you. When you sleep, it shall watch over you. And when you awaken, it will meditate with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. and reproofs of instruction are a way of life. What's the problem today in the Laodicean era? People don't want reproof. They don't want correction. It's a rebellious time we're living in, where people just want to go their own way. And yet he very clearly states here, the commandment is a lamp and the law a light, and reproofs of instruction are a way of life. Torah is a lamp to light your way. Without the Torah, going by your own evil, wicked heart that is deceitful, you will deceive yourself and you will walk down this dark, black road. And like the Laodicean, think you're rich and increased with goods and need of nothing when you don't even realize how blind, miserable, and naked you really are. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What happens to those who forsake the light of Yahweh? What happens to those who forsake the word of Yahweh? Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Let's look what he told Israel. For those in covenant relationship that reject his word, his written word and his spiritual word. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 58. If you will not take heed to do all the words of this Torah, written in this book, to fear this glorious and fearful name, Yahweh your Elohim, then Yahweh will make your plagues remarkable, and the plagues of your children shall be great and persistent plagues with evil and long-lasting sicknesses. He shall also bring on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, or the book of this instruction, Yahweh shall cause them to come on you until you are destroyed. And you shall be left with a few adult men, whereas you were as the stars of the heavens for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. And it shall be as Yahweh rejoice over you to do good, and to multiply you, as Yahweh shall rejoice over you to destroy you, and to lay you waste. And you shall be plucked from the land you are going to possess. And Yahweh shall scatter you among the people, from one end of the earth even to the other. And you shall serve other gods there, wood and stone, which you have not known, nor your fathers. And among these nations you shall find no ease, nor shall the sole of your foot have rest. But Yahweh will give you there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And your life shall be in doubt before you. And you shall fear day and night, and shall have no assurance of your life. Doubt and fear are not of Yahweh. The spirit of Yahweh is self-discipline and love and power and a sound mind, not fear and doubt. Fear and doubt come from Satan, and fear and doubt will bring torment into your life, not answers. In the morning you shall say, oh, it was evening. And in the evening you will say, oh, that it were morning. For the fear of your heart with which you fear, and for the sight of your eyes on which you see. Does eternal life depend on following the word of Yahweh? You better believe it does. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with Yahweh, and the word was Yahweh, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Like I said, the Torah came through Moses, grace and truth came through Yeshua Messiah. They don't contradict each other. They're both the word of Yahweh. The written word, the living word, are exactly the same. They're not a contradiction. We've been going over it in Revelation. We see what I was reading here is going to come to pass. Most people on this earth will perish, not because it's the will of Yahweh, but because they refuse to repent of their sins and follow His perfect, loving, eternal law that is there for the protection of the people and to teach us how to obey and worship Him and how to love our neighbor as ourselves. And in Revelation, as these plagues become more and more like He says here, you would think, wow, they will repent then. No. Talks about in Revelation, they curse Him more the more the plagues come. We are entering into the worst time the world has ever known, and the mindset of most human beings out there is so vile and despicable because they're following their own heart into a road of destruction. There's no fear of Yahweh before their eyes, like it talks about in Romans 3. And it's a scary, scary time. Go to Isaiah 24, talks about the same thing, showing a little more in an end time scenario. Isaiah 24, in verse 1. Lo, Yahweh empties the earth and makes it bare, and distorts its face and scatters those living in it. As it is with the people, so with the priest. As with the servant, so with the master. As with the maid, so with the mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the creditor, so with the debtor. It's going to hit everybody. You know, it's not going to be only the people on the right side, only the people on the left side, only the women, only the men. It's going to hit everybody who is not following the word of Yahweh. The earth shall be completely emptied and utterly stripped, for Yahweh has spoken this word. The earth mourns and languishes. The world droops and languishes. The proud people of the earth droop. And the earth is profaned under those living in it. Why? Because they transgress Torah, they violate a statute, and they break the everlasting covenant. On account of this, a curse has devoured the earth, and they who live in it are held guilty. For this, those living in the earth are consumed, and few men are left. Wow. It's coming right before here. But yet, Yahweh still, like he says in Joel 2, he still says, even at this point, even in the last day, rend your hearts and not your garment. Turn to me with weeping and fasting and repentance. And I will leave a blessing to you. And I will give back to you all those harvests that's been lost. How many Shavuot have been lost in the wilderness? How many Shavuot have been lost because of the attitude of the people? But all that matters is if we can get that last Shavuot back. Because there's a Shavuot coming where His Spirit will be poured out on the earth. Joel 2, 28 through 32. And men will be praying and prophesying, and young women prophesying, and people having dreams. And we're going to see His Spirit poured out on the earth in that day for those who are repenting and turning back and believing. But like he says in Revelation, to the defiled and the unbeliever, they will not be there. They will not be there. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30. Because to be honest with you, it is not that hard what I am saying today. Surrendering to Yahweh, you know, giving up our own wicked human nature that's only defiling us and holding us back, not helping us, you know, and turning to His eternal word that only has life. It only has good things for us. It only has peace of mind. Like it says, the word of Yahweh that surpasses all understanding. It has every single answer that human beings are looking for out there. Right under their nose. And it's not up in the space station. Up in heaven. Let me read it. Deuteronomy 30 in verse 11. For this command which I am commanding you today, it's not too wonderful for you, nor is it too far off. It is not in the heavens that you should say, who will go up to the heavens for us and bring it to us and cause us to hear it that we may do it? It is not beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross over for us in the region beyond the sea and take it for us and cause us to hear it that we may do it? For the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. It's pretty simple. All you have to do is believe and follow. Believe and follow. Yahweh is perfect. His word has been perfect. He's an eternal creator. He has no beginning. He has no end. He never makes a mistake. All we have to do is believe it. You don't have to climb to the space station. You don't have to cross the Atlantic Ocean. It is right here in front of you, right in His word. For the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Behold, I have set before you today life and good and death and evil. And that I am commanding you today to love Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, and you shall live and multiply, and Yahweh your Elohim shall bless you in the land where you are going over to possess it. Like I said, pretty simple. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your seed may live. Choose life. Torah is life. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. Torah is life. Proverbs 28 in verse 9. The ending here in a few minutes. Proverbs 28 in verse 9. Says, whoever turns aside his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer is an abomination. Whoever turns away his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer, is an abomination. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Everything you do in life, every day of your life, you're going to have hundreds of decisions to make. What time to get up, where to work, what to wear, what to eat, and then decisions on other things, how to deal with each other. And they got to come from somewhere. And there's only two places they're going to come from. They're going to come from the word of Yahweh, his Torah, or they're going to come from your own heart. And like I said, unfortunately, in the days we're living in, most of Christianity have deceived themselves that their heart is the Holy Spirit speaking to them when it's actually under Satan the devil. Because I've heard many, many Christians, non-Torah observant Christians, tell me that the Holy Spirit has told them to do things that is 100% violating Yahweh's word. I've heard women tell me the Holy Spirit told them to divorce their husband. It's against the word of Yahweh. I've had people tell me the Holy Spirit told them to break Shabbat. Against the word of Yahweh. And I try to tell them, Yahweh is not like you. They think that Yahweh is like them. And he's not. Let me go to Psalm 50. I'll show you this. Because the game is getting ready to end. And Yahweh is just about ready to checkmate. And all the people that are out there claiming that Yahweh is talking this way and Yahweh is talking that way, and they're talking against his word, and Yahweh clearly says in Jeremiah 23, the prophets ran and prophesied, and I did not send them. And they say, he said, when I never sent them. But Yahweh says, in verse 16, but to the wicked, Psalm 50 and verse 16, but to the wicked Elohim says, what is it to you to proclaim my statutes and to take up my covenant in your mouth? What is it to you? Why are you saying my words? Why are you quoting my scripture when your deeds are evil and wicked? And you hate discipline and toss my words behind you. When you saw a thief, you were pleased with him. The law is nailed to the cross, right? And with adulterers is your part. Yahweh doesn't mind divorce. He told me to. He wants me to be happy. Even though his word says, I hate divorce. The two become one till death do you part. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit, you speak against your brother. You give fault to the son of your mother. They go around, they gossip, they backbite. And they're saying that Yahweh is speaking to them. But look what he says. Verse 21, you have done these things and I have kept silent. You know why? Because he has mercy and he gives people time to repent. You thought that surely I would be like you, but I will rebuke you and set in order before your eyes. Now think of this, you who forget Eloah, lest I tear and there not be any to deliver. Whoever sacrifices thanks glorifies me, and he who determines his course of life, I will show him Yeshua Elohim. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. What Yahweh is looking for, he's looking for people that will in faith simply just believe him. Simply just believe him and follow these words, because these words teach us how to worship him in, you know, spirit and truth, like it says in John 4, and how to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if we try to do it our own way, you're not going to get that result. Yahweh's way is perfect. His creation has to stop trying to go above perfect. You know? If you ever bowled and you got a 300 score, there's nowhere to go above that. You know? It's a perfect score. Yahweh gets a 300 score every time. He is perfect in all his ways. All we have to do is simply accept it. We have to accept it. We are all sinners who have fallen short of the glory of Yahweh. Romans 6, 23. Only the shed blood of Yeshua can justify us back to the Father. There's no doubt about that. But after we are justified, how do we behave? Where do our decisions come from? From the Torah or our own wicked heart? Psalm 119, 105. I'll read it again. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Torah is a lamp to my feet. It is the very character of Yahweh in his protective clause in the covenant to protect his people from evil injustice, sin, and darkness. The Torah is life. Breaking the Torah is darkness and death. Yahweh bless. Chag Sameach.